Right, I think my job is not to present a paper, but present a few background facts from a local perspective, or quasi-facts, some of them may be disputed, about the significance of migration in relation to the London economy and labour market. And I should say to start with, but almost all of what I say is going to be about the labour market and the economy, because frankly we know very little about the impact of migration on the productive economy as distinct from employment within it. Jonathan may find ways of filling in this gap, but I think that quite a lot of what we have so far about this is an element of speculation rather than hard fact. We have slightly harder facts, somewhat harder facts, about numbers. So to start with, London's new migrant workforce, what I mean by new in this context, is really the sets of people who arrived since the re-emergence of migration into the country on a large scale in the middle of the 1980s. So I'm talking about people who came essentially in the last 30 years. If we look at the current last year's working age population, leaving out students, simple numbers from the Labour Force survey indicate that 37% of those living in London had come from abroad in the past 30 years, and two-thirds of those had come within the past 15. Right. So flows which had started going up in the late 1980s, but peaked, maybe coming back again, but peaked around the 2000s, or the high levels around there. This group of people who are still here is split roughly 75%, 25% between people who came from poor countries, meaning the global south plus the European east, and people who came from rich countries, the old Commonwealth, the United States, Japan, and so on. A lot more people from rich countries will have come and gone during this period, but in terms of the semi-permanent additions to the population, it splits in that kind of ratio. Of these people who are here still, the majority, 60%, have higher qualifications, so higher education, or at least we know they've completed their education after the age of 21, and that compares with 51% of the UK-born population. So unlike old stereotypes about migration into this city and this country, this is clearly a well-educated inflow, almost irrespective of where they come from. 85% of the male migrants are working, which is above the proportion for the native-born population within London. For females, it's the other way around. 65% are working, and this is largely, but not exclusively, a phenomenon of Muslim wives. So it's 65% compared with 76% amongst the UK-born population. But however you think about that, if you take simple measures of benefit claiming from the LFS, just 3% of this population came in the last 30 years are currently claiming benefit, as opposed to something like 4%, a bit over 4% of the UK-born population. So not some of the stereotypes which are imposed upon. On average, migrant hourly pay, according to the LFS, is about 15%, 14% below the average for the UK-born within London. Those who've been here a bit longer within that group, the gap is down to 10%, and it's obviously higher amongst those who came in the recent few years. But very sharp divide between those who came from rich countries and those who came from poor countries. So those who came from rich countries, average pay is 14% above the native average within London. Those who came from poor countries, again averaging, it's 27% below. So there's a very sharp difference in the averages for those. I emphasise the averages because I'm not trying to say there's a simple dualisation, that there's two sets of distinct migrants and migrant positions and opportunities in this city. There's clearly a very enormous variety of different kinds of migrants, different kinds of experience. They're spread all over the labour market. But nevertheless, there are really quite strong links to the top and to the bottom end of the labour market. And I'm going to say a little bit about those two perspectives before I stop and usher the wider experts into the debate. So the bottom end of the labour market, what I mean by that is roughly the 20% of jobs which are the least well paid, actually the least well paid across the country as a whole. Half of all the London residents working in these are people who came in the last 30 years. Right? So they're not all of this group, but they are roughly half of those who are working in this bottom tier jobs. And if you look just at the people who've just arrived, in the last year or two, half of those coming from poor countries work within this group. So not 20%, which would be the average, but 50%. Right? But this proportion goes down progressively over time, and over something like 30 years it converges on the average. It gets halfway to that in about 8 years. Right? So there's a really quite substantial convergence taking place. But early on, they crowd into this bottom part of the labour market, and crowding in there has clearly, at times, depressed wages within this part of the labour market, not overall. According to estimates of mine and Yanis Kaplanis, in the wake of the peak inflow, it went down by about 15% within this quintile compared to what you would otherwise have expected. And in London, the national minimum wage scarcely stops dropping far because it's so low relative to the cost of living in the city. That reduction in wages seems to have stimulated a significant increase in this segment of jobs. So the growth of jobs at the bottom, which Saskia Sassen years ago was heralding as a result of globalization, seems to have actually occurred in the early 2000s, belatedly in this city, but as a result of globalization in the workforce rather than simply the globalization of demand. So that's a positive thing, one might think, but on the other hand, it looks as though the reduction in wages in this bottom segment of jobs has significantly lowered the work incentive for all those marginal groups who could only expect to work in that segment. Right? And there are significantly fewer, substantially fewer in that group, reporting an interest in paid work during a period around about 2005, not quite so bad since then. But there's a link back to that. At the top end, the proportion of highly qualified migrants has clearly always been higher in London than it has been in the rest of the UK because of the sorts of jobs which are attracting people in. But it seems to have been boosted quite significantly since the introduction of points-based migration control nationally. And the Labour Force survey suggests that about 94% of those coming from rich countries since the introduction of those controls into London, not in the rest of the country, had higher qualifications in the way I've defined it previously, and about 70% of those coming from poor countries had higher qualifications, which is significantly above what it was before that. There's still, despite this flow of highly qualified people into the city, there's still issues being raised from along the road and probably around Lincoln's Inn Fields as well, about the impact of migration controls on recruitment into high-skilled jobs. But half of the Tier 2 admissions, those coming in on the basis of high skills into the country as a whole, come into London jobs rather than the rest of the country. Over a quarter of these come to work in the city, Westminster or Canary Wharf. And that's part of, it's not stands on its own, it's part of a general link between these inflows and concentrations of financial services, IT, jobs, and simply big cities. So London is one part of a pattern of concentration. As elsewhere, at this end, a lot of the people who are coming in under the rubric of intra-company transfers. Includes a lot of IT workers, including large numbers coming from India. So recruitment into these high-skilled jobs is not by any means exclusively from rich countries. And the sense in which these are intra-company transfers, I think, is slightly complicated because quite a bit is linked to offshoring of work and the intermediary employers, at least like Tata and so on, involved in this. Getting around to the productive economy belatedly, there may well be positive impacts from migration, especially of these high-skilled groups, on innovation and thereby on productivity in the city. But the evidence on this is, as far as I read it, not yet as strong or as clear as has been produced in the United States. Maybe it's just not as strong as there, especially in relation to innovations that have been commercialized, as they're actually translated into saleable products. And it does seem that an awful lot might depend upon which migrants we're actually talking about. There's enormous heterogeneity amongst migrants arriving in the city, and very little reason to believe that all of them should have the same impact. But we know almost nothing about that at the moment. I think that Jonathan may have evidence to the contrary. Thank you.